All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn please to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. We'll read a few verses here, and I won't keep you very long tonight. I know it's cold outside and all of that, but I'm grateful for your presence in the house of God. And I want to try to give you what's on our heart. Look at just a few verses tonight, if the Lord will help us. And you'd pray for us. Had this thought on my heart all afternoon. Seemed like got home and the Lord began to stir and work in our heart on this fashion. So we want to try to give it to you if the Lord will help us tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. When you found your place and if you're able to stand, we'll stand together out of reverence. Honor to the reading of the Word of God, Deuteronomy chapter number 28, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Now, what's going on here, it's not going to be very long by way of time that Moses, the man of God, is going to go off the scene, and Joshua is going to take over in his place. And the book of Deuteronomy is a book of remembrance. Moses started in the beginning and he rehearsed in the ears of the children of Israel all the things that the Lord had done, starting with their captivity in Egypt and bringing them out, their journey through the wilderness up until this point. Now, in the last few chapters, Moses has spent time charging the people. He knows he's leaving. He knows the hearts of the people. He knows their nature. He spent many years with them in the wilderness and saw their rebellion and their hard-heartedness. And so he is charging them and giving them laws and ordinances to live by and serve the Lord by. Now here in chapter number 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, he's going to give a chapter of blessings of obedience and curses of disobedience. So we want to pick up reading in verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessed upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give thee the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We could go on, I guess, tonight and continue reading in verse 15. The transition changes and Moses, the man of God, it begins to tell them about all the things that would take place if they would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And it reads very much like the first verses, except that it's cursed instead of blessing. But I'm interested tonight, if the Lord would help me for just a minute and you'd pray for me, and I won't keep you long, out of verse number 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, where Moses, the man of God, in pronouncing the blessings upon the people of God, says, "Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store." I want to preach tonight, if God would help me for just a few minutes, on the blessing on the basket. The blessing on the basket. Now, what is being spoke of here, and it's spoken of again in another verse later on about the storehouse being blessed. Moses is talking about that's laid up. That when the increase of the land comes, that they set it aside, that they can't use it all at that time, but they lay up for days that will come ahead. And so he says that if they will bless the Lord, if they will follow Him, if they will observe and do all His commandments, if they'll pay careful attention to do their best to follow the Lord, not only will He give them an abundance, the Bible said in verse number 3, blessed they'll be in the field, blessed they would be in verse 4 in the fruit of the ground and the fruit of the cattle and the increase of the kine and the sheep. And so God would give them not just what they needed, but an abundance above that they needed at that time. And so they would be able to lay it up for the days that would surely come ahead. God knew that there'd be days just as there are in our natural life. The seasons come and there are days of planting and days of harvest. But there are also days when the harvest ceases and all the plants die and you can't go out to the garden and pick fresh fruit or vegetables. You can't do certain things that you can in other seasons. And the Lord knew that. And He said, if you'll observe and do all my commandments, then you can lay up that I've given you and I'll bless it too. That when you go into the storehouse and you get that's laid up, He said it'll be just as good that day as it was the day that you brought it in out of the field. I thought about, and it's a kind of a coincidence, amazing coincidence, I guess, but I thought about this today and was thinking and meditating about it, you know. And then we come in tonight, me and Brother Harlan were talking about how these days are just about over and people canning and putting up stuff. But you know, I was raised by my grandmother and she always canned beans. If she didn't can anything else, but she always canned beans. And I remember as a young boy, she'd get them beans down. And I don't know about anybody else, but I hated to break them and I hated to string them, but I always did it. And I thought, you know, that there'd be probably 2 or 3 bushels of beans in the house or out on the porch. Usually where we'd sit. And by the time that you broke and strung 2 or 3 bushels of beans, you never did want to see another bean as long as you lived. So you thought you'd never. I remember as a young boy thinking, we'll never eat all this. I mean, it's just the two of us. What's the use of putting all this stuff up? We'll just, why can't we just eat it while it's here and do without it when it's gone? But I remember as I grew up around Thanksgiving and Christmas time when the snow would be blowing outside and you couldn't go to the field to pick a mess of beans. And she always wanted cornfields. I don't know myself. I don't see that much better in them than any others. But that's just what the mountain people always wanted, cornfield beans. And she'd go at a great lengths to get them. But I remember around Christmas time when it's cold outside and the snow was blowing, you couldn't go get no beans. out of the field, and you certainly couldn't buy them out of the grocery store. But she'd go down in the basement, and there's some shelves put in beside the, we had an old dirt floor basement in the bottom of the house, and she had some shelves where the beans were stored, and she'd bring it up. The jar wouldn't look too good. It'd be dusty because it'd sit there for months and look dirty, and most people in our day, most younger generations wouldn't eat it. They'd think it's nasty, but she'd spin that top off, and she'd take a case knife and break the seal on that the top of that can, and pour them beans out in a pot and cook them, and we'd all gather around the table at Christmas and eat it. And you know what? That's just as good, if not better, than they were the day they was picked from the field. You say, what is that? That's a blessing on the basket. That when the cold time had come, and you wanted to get something, but it felt like you couldn't get it, I'm glad somebody had laid something up in store. I'm telling you, it happens just the same in our spiritual life. And it seems like that in our day, just as it's happening in the natural things, and the younger generations have no idea about putting stuff up and canning and killing and freezing and storing like the old timers did. And I don't know as much as most of you do, but I do know a little bit. And I know enough to know it pays to have it laid up in store. Now here we are in the spiritual sense. We're raising a generation that has no idea about trying to lay up some things for the cold days. And I'm telling you, just as it happens in our natural life, there are seasons in our spiritual life. There are times it gets cold. There are times it gets dark. There are times that the dry season comes, and it seems like the field spiritually ain't putting out, and we can't run out to the garden and grab a mess of something to tide us over. And it's at that time we better have something laid up in store. And God said He'd honor it and bless it and let it nourish us as it did in days gone by. There have been plenty of days in my life, and I'm not talking about living on leftovers. I'm glad God has fresh for all His people. But I know there have been some dark days and some trying times in my life that if somebody hadn't laid up something, and there have been times I've laid it up for myself, but more often than not, it seems like somebody else labored and laid up for me that I could reach back in the cabinet and blow the dust off of a jar and pop it open and eat of the good things of God and be brought through the dark times. There have been many a days I was kept from giving up by what somebody had laid up that helped me and nourished me and was blessed by God for me. It's the same for us. I don't know what time will hold naturally. I don't know if it's going to get to the place, it probably will, that we may have to go back to raising our own and putting up our own. The majority of people have no clue about what it would take to do that. But I do know about where we're going spiritually. And the Bible said it's going to get worse and worse. And so by my estimation, there ought to be some care that's gone on by those that know what it is to lay up in store. And we ought to lay some things up that'll help us along the way. It's hard to see. I was thinking about what I said a minute ago about them when we was a-breaking and stringing, you didn't want no beans. But when the cold come, you're just glad to get them. And it's hard in the full times when the blessings of God are being poured out and everything's going well. It's hard to see the need for the basket. It's hard to see the need to lay up anything. It's hard to appreciate those things that are laid up. When times of plenty are here, we don't think much about it. But when those dry times come, when those empty times come, by the way, they do come. But I'm going to tell you, when they come, it's too late to lay up in store then. We better be laying up in store in the good times. And the Lord's been awful good to us around here at Gospel Way, and He's been meeting with us and helping us. And would to God that some of us would lay up some things that we can reach back a few days down the road when maybe it's dried up a little bit. And those times come, it's just natural that we can reach back and remember what God did for us. And it help us, encourage us. There's much care needed for the basket. If there is care, if you lay up something, then it guarantees a blessing that will come in the future. I thought about, many people think, well, it's just a little layup. What's the use? I mean, it's not a can house full like most people have. It's just a jar or two. You better lay up all you can. I thought about the widow woman over there that had her husband died and left a debt she couldn't pay. And she went round the man of God. She said, My husband's dead. He feared the Lord. He was one of the sons of the prophets. And she said, we've got debts to pay and I can't pay them. And the creditor's coming to take my boys away. And Elijah said, what do you got in the house? She said, well, I don't have anything except a pot of oil. She said, I got a jar of oil back yonder in the back room. I'm glad, even though it didn't seem like much to her, it might not seem like much to anybody else, it was enough to see her through. I'm going to tell you, you better lay up all you can. If it's just a jar here and a jar there, you better lay up all you can. The Bible said that if we had observed, that if we had followed God, I believe this blessing can transfer to us, even though it's an Old Testament principle. I believe God will bless the basket. I believe it'll be good to our soul again. There's many in the Word of God I thought about, and I'll give you just a few things and I'll be done. There's many in the Word of God that found blessings in their baskets. I thought about the disciples over there that day when they was out on the hillside. The multitude had been following the Lord. He said, send them away to buy meat. Jesus said, no, you give them to eat. And they said, well, we don't have anything. Could we buy 200 penny worth of bread and they all just have a little? Jesus said, well, what do you have? They said, well, there's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? The Bible said, Jesus said, bring them to me. He commanded them to sit down in companies of 50s and 100s on the grass. He blessed it, break it, gave it to the disciples and they to the multitude. We all know the story. The Bible said when they had all eaten and were filled, the disciples took up 12 baskets full of fragments. And I've heard a lot of good sounding things about them baskets and what them 12 baskets meant. And I don't know so much about all of that. I'm no deep preacher, but I do know there's 12 disciples and the Bible said they hadn't had anything to eat. The Bible said they hadn't had any time so much as to eat. Here they are. They're feeding everybody else. They're not eating. And yet the Lord allows them to take up 12 baskets full. You say, well, them baskets probably didn't mean too much. Oh, I'd say they did. Because about 5 verses later, they're on a boat. And they took the leftovers with them. And the Bible said suddenly there came down a great storm of wind. And they were in jeopardy. And I guarantee on that day, in the darkness of the night, when the storm was rolling around them, something in their heart nudged them to look at the basket again. It reassured them that the same God, the same Lord that fed them 5,000 men besides women and children with 5 little barley loaves and 2 small fishes could take care of them in the storm. And so they found bread in their basket. I thought about it in the book of Exodus. We find a man of the tribe of Levi by the name of Amram, and a woman of the tribe of Levi by the name of Jochebed. And they're in the midst of turmoil. Pharaoh is ruling over the Israelites, and he's afraid they're increasing in number. And so the decree goes out because Pharaoh is afraid that they'll rise up an army greater than the Egyptians, and all the Hebrew male babies are to be cast in the river. Amram and Jochebed have a little boy. And the Bible said they saw that he was a goodly child. The Bible said they hid him. When they couldn't hide him any longer, his mama, she made the Bible calls it an ark of bulrushes, but really what it was a basket. And she made a basket. And she didn't have bread in her basket, she had a baby in it. And she put that basket in the river. And the Bible said that Pharaoh's daughter came and Saul heard the child. And the Bible said she took him up, drew him out of the water, called his name Moses. And Moses' sister Miriam was there. And she ran to Pharaoh's daughter and said, "Do you want me to call a Hebrew woman to nurse the child?" She said, "Yeah." Called Moses' own mother. And she took him and nursed him. And no doubt in the night she sung to him. And I don't know, I'm just speculating. But no doubt in the night she sung to him of the Hebrew lullabies and told him where he came from. The Bible said when he came of age that he refused to be identified, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Chose rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the riches of the treasures of Egypt. All because a woman, all because a mom and a daddy laid up a basket for their child. Changed the course of history. God used him to be a deliverer. There was a baby in their basket. There was bread in the disciples' basket. I thought about in the book of Judges, and I'm about done tonight. In the book of Judges chapter 6, we find a man by the name of Gideon. And he's down there hiding by the wine press trying to thresh some wheat from the Midianites. And the Lord appears to him. Begins to speak with him. Gideon says, If I found favor in your sight, he said, Lord, if all this you've told me is true, the Lord told him he would deliver the children of Israel from the hand of Midian and smite them as one man. Gideon said, if I've really found favor, if I'm really talking to you, he said, don't leave till I bring you a present, a blessing. And so he goes running back to the house and he kills a kid and gets milk and gets bread. If you read the book of Judges chapter 6, you'll read that Gideon puts all that in a basket. And he brings a blessing to the Lord in the basket. God accepts the sacrifice. He pours the broth out and sets the flesh and the unleavened cakes and the basket on the rock. And the Lord touches it with the rod that's in his hand. Fire comes up out of the rock, consumes the sacrifice, and the Lord disappears in the smoke. And Gideon knows that God has spoke to him and everything will be all right. How many times in your life have you went through dark times and hard times, but thank God to reach back in the days gone by and remember who God is. Remember what the Lord's done. Crack open the seal on some of them things that's been laid up. Then be just as good on that day as they are on the day the Lord did it. I'm not saying we have to live in the past, but I'm saying thank God there are some things that can be laid up to help us through the hard times, the times when we have nothing else. But we've got to be careful about the basket. Oh, there's many types and pictures, and there's a whole lot more to it than I can explain. And there's much we've talked about tonight about those that have found a blessing. They found bread and a baby and a blessing in the basket. But then I thought about, if you read in the book of Genesis, about that day when Joseph's in prison with that butler and that baker, and they dream a dream. And the butler dreams a dream, and Joseph interprets it and says, 3 days and Pharaoh will restore thee to your position. The baker had also dreamed a dream, and the Bible said when he saw that it was good, the interpretation was good for the butler, then the baker told Joseph his dream. And his dream went something like this. He said, I dreamed that I had 3 white baskets on my head. And he said inside those baskets were baked goods, all manner of baked goods for Pharaoh. He said, I prepared them for him. But he said, the birds came in my dream and ate it out of my basket. I'm going to tell you what, there have been many a people that didn't have, that might have had some bread, might have had a baby, might have had some blessings, but they didn't have any care for their basket, and the birds came, took away what they had. And the birds in the Bible, if you study the parable of the sower, Jesus said, talked about the fowls of the air that came and said it was the type of the devil, Satan, that wicked one, that came to take away that had been given. We ought to guard what we've been given, that it doesn't be taken away from us. Guard what we've laid up, that others can have the help and the strength. It's not just about us, but it's about those around us and those to come. My grandma didn't can and lay up just for herself, but she did it for her whole family. Many of you know parents and grandparents that did the same. Lord, help us to do the same. He said, blessed if you'll do all I've asked of you and follow my commandments. Verse number 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, tonight for this privilege to have been in your house.